Thank you for those rather long readings. Good morning, everybody. Nice to be here. Not in Fiji, as a good many of our number are at the moment, although they're supposed to be working. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but they're supposed to be working. Am I a little bit loud? My wife often tells me I am. I feel a little bit loud. We're going to talk about dying today. Is that a good subject? Most of us, 2 weeks ago this Sunday, were in this very room celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Easter. That's what you do on Easter Sunday. You celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You sing songs like He is risen. You grab a scripture like that first one that Jill read to us. If it was Easter Sunday, I'd quite happily grab those first 20-25 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll have a great sermon for Easter Sunday. You know what the problem is? We often leave the resurrection behind. Well, we've done Easter. We're done. We're dusted. Easter's next year. We're looking forward to the rest of the year, end of the financial year. It'll be winter, all of a sudden it'll be spring, all of a sudden it'll be Christmas, and then one day again it'll be Easter. How much does the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually figure in your day-to-day life? Like, when you kick it off on Monday... I don't know about your diary this week. My diary is jam-packed this week. When you kick off this Monday, how much is the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the forefront of your mind? So here's what happens. My to-do list is full. Yours is probably pretty full. Your diary's probably got a lot in it. A lot of us have a lot in our diaries. And so we just go on head on life and we focus on the stuff that's happening now. And then all of a sudden something bad happens. I would bet you there is not a single person in this room who doesn't have something difficult or awkward or inconvenient or bad going on in their lives at the moment. A sickness issue, a relationship issue, a work issue, a financial issue, some sort of pressure, some sort of fear. Is there anybody who's living a perfect life at the moment and everything's just hunky-dory for you? No, of course there's not. Not one of us in this room. And it's like, you may have heard me use this example before, it's like when you slam your finger in a door, right? You know when you slam your finger in the door and that little bit hurts? Now the rest of the body's fine. You're breathing, your heart's beating, you're seeing, you're thinking, kind of, you're thinking. But this bit hurts, so we focus on this bit. And that's what we spend a lot of our lives doing. We narrow our focus down to the little bit that hurts, the little bit that's difficult or inconvenient or painful. And the moment you keep on looking down, you miss out on all the rest of the fantastic stuff that's going on. I know I love walking. I do a lot of walking. And I know often, I've often walked around Centennial Park. Those of you who know it's a beautiful park. And many a time I found myself walking around like this, looking down at the ground. What's the matter with me? There's a beautiful park out here to look at. We often live our lives like that, looking down at the ground. And Paul comes along here in this chapter about dying, and he has something very important to say to us about the impact of the promise that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the impact that that should have on the life that we lead today. That's what we're going to talk about today. Here it is, verse 12. But if it is preached, chapter 15, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, if you have it, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, I hope there's no one in this room that says there's no resurrection of the dead. Hopefully, we're kind of mostly on the same page about that. But can I tell you, often we live our lives as though there's no resurrection from the dead. We live our lives as if the only stuff that matters is the stuff that's going on now in our lives. You know the saying, there are two sure things in life. Death and taxes. I'd like to challenge that today. I think taxes are the only certain thing in life. Because the Bible has something to say about death, which says it's not an absolute certainty. Because something may happen before you and I die. What's that one thing that could happen? Jesus might come back. Yeah? Who's expecting Jesus to come back soon? Who's hoping for Jesus to come back soon? Who's sitting there thinking, Jesus, come back now? No, most of us just go on living life as though that's probably the most improbable thing that's ever going to happen. See, back in the early church, when these epistles were being written, they were expecting Jesus to come back next Thursday. You read a lot of it, that's what they were expecting to happen. You could say, well, maybe that was a bit wishful thinking, but we're at the opposite end of the spectrum. We imagine that the least probable thing that could happen is that Jesus could come back next Thursday. But I'm telling you, he could. So let's have a look at this whole thing about dying, about the resurrection of the dead, about what's going to happen, because I want to bring that back to the impact that the gospel, the good news, is meant to have on our lives. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the good news that I preach to you. This good news isn't confined to Good Friday. It's not confined to Easter Sunday. It's for the whole of our lives. So what's going to happen to you when you die? When you take your last breath, your heart takes its last gdunk, and that's it. Where are you going? Do you know? You're certain? Because the return of Jesus may be a long time after you die. What's going to happen to you immediately when you die? Can I tell you? A lot of Christians don't know. But the Bible's really clear. Jesus actually tells us what's going to happen to us when we die. Have you got a Bible? Come with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Most of us know this passage pretty well. One of the criminals who hung there next to Jesus on the cross, you know he was crucified, one guy on the right, one guy on the left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We're being punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, what did he say? Truly I tell you that today you will be with me in paradise. Criminal. Don't know what he did. Must have been bad to get crucified. He hasn't got some big, flowery, eloquent prayer to pray. He hasn't got time because he's hanging on a cross. He's in pain and he's dying. And he just turns to Jesus and believes. That's all he has and that's all it took. And Jesus said, you will be with me today in paradise. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put your trust in Jesus? I mean, not just some distant intellectual belief, but you've put your whole life in the hands of Jesus and said, Lord, I believe that what you did on that cross for me means that my sins are forgiven. Lord, I believe that that empty tomb, that resurrection is for me, and that because of that I have a new eternal life as well. If you've put that trust into Jesus, then the instant that you die, you will be with him in paradise. The Apostle Paul says that too. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes one step further. He says in 1 Philippians chapter 21 and the verses following, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in this body, that'll mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be where? And be with Christ. Which is better by far, but it's more necessary for me to remain here with you. Convinced of this, I know I will remain with you for a while longer. Paul takes it one step further. He says, I actually want to go and be with Jesus. Because that eternal life that I'm going to have is so much better than the life I have here. Doesn't that turn our whole view of death on its head? Depending on where you are in life, maybe you find death a scary proposition. I was down in Wollongong. My mother's 83 and she had a fall this week and she broke her arm, and so I was in the hospital, and there were a lot of old sick people in that hospital there. And I guess some of them were pretty afraid of dying. The older we get, the closer we get to the inevitability of dying. Of course, that's silly, because this very night, someone young like me, my life could be demanded of me. Your life could be demanded of you. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, people die at all sorts of different ages. Who's afraid of dying? Who's scared of that moment, which may well happen in some terrible hospital room, you know, that sterile, kind of away from home, away from family feeling that hospitals have, could very well happen for most of us in a hospital room. Who's afraid of that last breath and that last heartbeat and our body giving up the ghost? It's a bit of a scary thing. But Paul's saying here, do you have any idea what comes next? You've lived a life here on this earth, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, maybe more. Okay, that's great. 100 years is great. But there's nothing compared to the eternity. You can live in the presence of Jesus Christ, worshipping him, rejoicing in him, forever and ever and ever. So the moment you die, if you believe in Jesus, the Bible says you're going to be with him. But what's that going to look like? Come with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. Right? So we're now talking about the people who have died before Jesus returns. Because some people were saying, well, if Jesus is coming back next Thursday, this is back in the first century, what happens to the folk who are already dead? So we find out. We don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you don't grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and we are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. A loved one who's died, who believed in Jesus, then when Jesus returns, that loved one will rise first. And should you or I die before Jesus returns, having spent that time with him, we will then rise up. And as Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, with a new body. Who's got a few aches and pains? I pulled a bit of a muscle yesterday. I was sitting in bed reading and my back's a bit sore. Whose knees are a bit sore, or Bill shoveled a whole bunch of dirt yesterday, although he never gets sore, he's like a machine. Bit of a sore shoulder, maybe a bit of a cancer scare, maybe breathing problems, maybe blocked sinuses. None of that's going to matter. Because this mortal body, this body that eventually ages and rots away, is going to be replaced with immortality. Isn't that what we just heard them read? This body that aches and wastes and hurts and cries and feels pain and feels loneliness and feels rejection and feels misunderstanding and feels all of that rotten stuff will be replaced by a body that doesn't wear out, a body that doesn't get sick, a body that never hurts, a nose that never gets stuffed up, a knee that never hurts. Is that good news or something? What? This is fantastic news. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember when we used to have our meetings there in the chapel? What's on the wall at the front of the chapel? A dirty, great, big cross. Can I ask you, why do I never walk into a church and find an empty tomb on the wall? Why do I never see an empty tomb up there? Because you can't separate the two. The cross, at Easter, we often stop at the cross. And fair enough. I mean, the cross is an amazing thing. It's where the Son of God suffered for you and me, shed his blood, died on the cross so my sins could be forgiven. Is that worth celebrating? Absolutely. But you're not meant to stop at the cross. You're meant to get across to that empty tomb and go, hallelujah. Death could not hold him down. And because he is risen, because Christ is risen, I will rise again. I will have a new body. I will have no fear or pain or terror or disappointments anymore because Jesus rose again. There's a purpose. There's a reason that we were forgiven. So that we can spend eternity with Jesus. That's what we just read there in 1 Thessalonians. So that we can spend eternity with Jesus. It's time to stop being afraid of dying. There's a natural part of us that wants to hang onto the body. But it's time to stop being afraid of dying. Because the eternity that you and I have in Jesus Christ is unimaginably wonderful. Now, as I said earlier, death is not a certainty. Because Jesus could return before it's all over. Jesus could come back next Thursday. In fact, he could come back Monday morning. You know how you work really hard and you're focused on what you've got going on next week? If Jesus comes back about 10 minutes after my alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, that's it. The diary's irrelevant. What I've got planned is irrelevant. Because Jesus has come back. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. That's a bad start to Monday. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth. A nose that doesn't get stuffed up, praise God, hallelujah. But about the hour of the day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding meal, one will be taken and the other will be left. Come on, people. That's what Jesus said is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen this week or not. I don't know if it's going to happen next week or next year or in 1,000 years' time. You and I don't know that. We were never meant to know that. We're simply meant to be living a life of anticipation of being with Jesus. Whether it happens because our body gives up our ghost or whether it happens because Jesus returns before that happens. How are you living your life? What's the central truth and the reality that you base your life on? Is it this hope of being with Jesus for eternity? That's the purpose of our faith, so that we can spend eternity with Jesus. Or are you so caught up in the day-to-day, the mundane, all that stuff, that the day-to-day is kind of grinding away? You know how the grind grinds away at you? And it wears you down. And you keep walking around looking like this. People, you're not meant to. You've got an eternal life ahead of you. A life of praise, a life of glory, a life of joy, a life of worship. And it goes on, not for 100 years. It goes on for 1 trillion years, and that's only a drop in the bucket. Because eternity goes on forever and ever and ever. And ever. The one thing that everyone wants, immortality, is given to us in Jesus Christ. We take off the mortal and we put on, what did Paul say? The immortal. We take off the perishable and we put on the imperishable. There are two equal and opposite mistakes we can make in looking at the return of Jesus. The first one are the doomsday prophets. You know, all the cults, they, every now and then it's on the news that this cult in America is predicting that the end of the world will come Tuesday afternoon at 3. And Tuesday afternoon at 3 comes, and it passes, and some people have a fixation with trying to predict when it's going to happen. Jesus said, don't try that, because you're not meant to know. That's the first mistake we can make. The other mistake we can make at the complete other end of the spectrum, which is the really common mistake that we make, is we forget that Jesus might be coming back at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. We stop hoping for his return. We stop crying out, Maranatha, Lord, come, Lord, come. And we live a life without hope. Have you ever had all your hopes shattered? All your dreams shattered? I have. I've been in that place. I've been in a place where all my hopes and dreams were shattered on the floor. Can I tell you, that is a terrible way to live life. It's awful when we don't have that certain hope in our hearts of the return of Jesus Christ. And that hope is meant to make a difference. Will you come back with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That rather long reading. Let's read to the end. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. Verse 51, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe themselves with imperishability, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we celebrated 2 weeks ago at Easter. Therefore, remember that's a really important word in the Bible. Whenever you see therefore, you've got to say, what's the therefore? Therefore. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord will not be in vain. Therefore, get out there and live this life that God has given you, this abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Get out and live it. And stop worrying about the little finger that you jammed in the door. Stop being afraid that one day your body's going to give up the ghost. And start enjoying the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Let that make a difference to your life. Let that make you enthusiastic about life. Let that make you get on and not be moved by anything. But keep on keeping on. Keep on doing good. Keep on serving the Lord. Be ready, because he might come back next Thursday. And if not, he might call you to him next Friday. At one point, this life that you and I have on this earth is going to come to an end. It is. Stop living as though it's everything, because it ain't. My life on this earth is going to come to end as certainly as your life on this earth is going to come to an end. Sooner or later, for one reason or another. Either because we die or because Jesus came back first. And when that happens, because you believe in Jesus, you will have an eternity of shouting hallelujah. That's what you have to look forward to. And that joy, that hope, is meant to make an extraordinary difference to my life and your life. That little video that we saw before told you something really important. You are an extraordinary individual. You are handcrafted by God. You've been made with a purpose. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. And he has got a plan, and he has got a purpose for your life. And he's put a dream in your DNA that you want to live out, and your dream is different to my dream, and your purpose is different to my purpose, but we each have one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk into. Go and live that life that God has planned for you. Live it enthusiastically. Live it sacrificially. Live it for his glory. And one day, you will stand before him and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you will spend eternity worshipping him. That's what Easter's about. That's what your life is about. That's the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Live it for Christ's sake. Father God, your word is just mind-blowingly amazing. Lord, your word is something that you blessed us with, that we confess so often we don't take a look at. Father, I pray each one of us will be moved by your Spirit this week to spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and rejoice over what you have planned for us. And I pray that little word, therefore, would be a little switch that you'd flick in our hearts, Father God, so that all of a sudden we get the perspective, the eternal perspective on life, the big picture that you have on our lives, and we start living that life with the hope of the glory that is ours through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you sent us Jesus. We thank you that you've put your Holy Spirit in us. Bring this word of yours today to life in our hearts so that we would have joy everlasting, no matter what our circumstances are at the moment. No matter what, you know every person's heart in this room. You know everything that's going on in our lives. You know the hurts and the fears and the disappointments. Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name that your Spirit would fill us now with the truth of the glory of the eternity that we have in the presence of Jesus Christ, and give us a joy that becomes our strength to live out the lives you have planned for us. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.